Welcome to NMA, empowering God's beloveds with Lavinia Johnson. And sorry guys, no men allowed. Here's your host, Lavinia Johnson.
Hello everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to NMA, empowering God's beloveds. My name is Lavinia, and I'm so excited to be here with you guys. And as always, I'm grateful to God for allowing me to be here to use my voice to bring glory to His name. Happy Friday, happy Friday. We're recovering from a cold here, but God is still faithful, and we're continuing to empower, encourage, uplift, and repeat. That is our motto. That is what I believe in NMA, empowering God's beloveds. Now, today I have a special surprise for you guys. Who's the man behind Lavinia? Who's the one who encourages her? Who's the one who pretty much takes care of her? Who provides for her? Well, on today's podcast, I want to introduce you to you guys my fiance, my husband-to-be, Kennedy.
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you sound sick.
I'm going to get over this.
In Jesus' name, right? Amen. Yeah. Yeah, so we have Kennedy here. Also wanted to share our story a little bit from his point of view. And I also do have some questions for you. Are you excited?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm excited.
Okay. All right, so Kennedy, glad to have you once again. Yes. Thank you for joining me in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Right. So now everybody knows my story, and they know how I was a single parent before me and you got together. Mm-hmm. How can you encourage others? I mean, in my position, I know it was tough for me to get back on the dating scene, especially after my first divorce and then also after having my child. And how was it like for you dating a single parent?
It was great. You definitely have to put in a lot of consideration when you're dating a single parent, because you're not just dating the person, you're dating also the parent with their child, and the child has their own type of personality, they have their own likes and dislikes. And so if you can't get along with the child but you get along with the parent, that relationship can't really go too far. And so you have to date the parent and also in a sense date the child as well, and get to know the child so that you can, you know, flow well with each individual.
Okay, that's really good advice. I like that. So you date the parent. So you were dating me and my son at the same time,
yes.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak. Right.
So to speak. I got to ask you, because I know it's not in a lot of people to date a single parent. How do you prepare your heart or your mind? How do you prepare yourself to date a single parent?
I've definitely prayed about it before I got into the relationship, because, you know, you already had your thing going on with and... You know, for somebody new to just jump in and try to, like, mesh in with that, it takes the grace of God, because you can jump in and kind of just throw things off the way you had things set up. So I prayed about it, and I just had a certain peace in my heart to pursue the relationship. On top of that, I mean, we've known each other for a long time as friends and churchgoers. Yeah. I think that's...
It made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
How can you advise somebody? Maybe somebody's out there seeking, looking to maybe date, and they're like, oh, but there's this girl, and she has a son, or she has a daughter, or even vice versa. It could be a single dad, and maybe the girl's looking to pursue a relationship. What advice can you give?
The best advice I would say is to don't just jump into it, don't rush into it. Again, it's not just the parent, it's not just the girl or the guy that you're pursuing, but it's also their child, girl or boy. Is, you know, you're not just you're pursuing that family. And the best thing to do is, you know, build a friendship between each individual. And if you see that it's working out together, you can, from there, try to take steps to move to the next step.
To the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you, because what actually happened was me and Kennedy knew each other for over 7 years. We've known each other. Right. We went to church together.
Yeah.
Kennedy actually experienced me go through my ups and downs. Like, you were, you were there through everything. And at the end of it all, I had 3 prayer requests. I was like, Lord, and I also was praying for a husband too before I even me and Kennedy started talking, and I prayed for 3 specific things, because these were the things and the qualities I was looking for in a future husband. I prayed for God to give me a man after His own heart. I prayed for God to give me a man that would love my son just as much as He loves me. And then I also prayed for a man that would be willing to accept my past. So it's funny how later on when we started talking, and I'm just like, I poured out and I told you, well, this is me, this is where I come from, this is my life. It was funny, guys, because Kennedy just looked at me like, oh, okay, that's it? And I was just like, what do you mean that's it? What do you mean? I mean, there's so much. So that was exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for a man after his own heart. And Kennedy is a man after God's heart. And that's one of the things that actually attracted me to him.
And not just my looks?
Not just your looks. Another thing that I will say is that God also had to repair and prepare my heart for this relationship, because I was coming from a background of a lot of hurt.
Right.
I was coming from a background of a lot of pain. So God had to work in my heart to prepare me for this relationship so I can walk into this and not compare Kennedy with my exes,
right,
compare situation with my exes. I don't think I did that at all,
mm-hmm,
because the whole time, guys, I was praying, Lord, prepare my heart for marriage,
mm-hmm,
prepare my heart for my husband to be,
mm-hmm,
because that was important to me to walk into a marriage fresh and new. As a woman who's gone through this, I would advise you guys to do the same thing, to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard many stories of different women who've said, you know, I prayed for a husband and I was looking for two specific things or three,
mm-hmm,
specific things, and God answers that exactly.
Right.
And, you know, I just want to remind you guys that the word does say they have not because they ask not.
Right.
So ask and you shall receive.
Right.
Now on to the question.
All right.
How important is it to you to have a man as a head of a household?
It's very important because that's how God has established it. The man and the woman, they're equal in some ways, but nonetheless, God made it for the man to be the head of the house, to lead the house. He's the one to provide, to sacrifice, to protect. And the example that I get that from is Jesus Christ. It says in the word that husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church, and gave his life for her, or for the church. And that's the same way in a family relationship. The guy is the one that's supposed to do that for the wife and for the family, not any other way around. But it's the guy is the man to do that for the family, to love the family unconditionally, even to his own hurt. He has to make sacrifices that will take care of his family.
Oh yeah, I like that response. I like how Jesus is the perfect example,
yes,
for us in all aspects of life, not just as a man looking to lead his home, but
right,
just how we should carry ourselves. You know, if you are wondering anything, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Speaking of the head of the household, who between you and I do you think plays good cop, bad cop with the kids?
Oh, that's easy. You do.
Me? Which role do I play?
You play bad cop.
Why?
I play good cop.
No. Guys, he always tries to put me out there. But I think it's more even, don't you think?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah,
yeah, because the kids know that, you know, if they want a certain thing, like if they want to watch TV before bed, they'll come to me because I am pro TV before bed. And meanwhile, Dad, if they want to eat junk food, he's the guy to go to because he's a junk food guy. But I think it's a happy medium, right? We make it work.
Yeah, we discipline when we need to.
Yeah.
And have fun when we need to.
When we need to, right. So are you ready for your next question, Kennedy?
Yes, I am.
So now this is getting a little bit more serious, so I hope you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what do you think it takes to raise a man?
You, yourself, as a man, as the father in the household, I believe you should be submitted to Jesus Christ. You should be submitted to following the Lord. And in following him and learning like how he lived his life and just served people and loved people, you can learn from that, glean from that, and be that example to your sons, to your boys.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus said, how can a blind man lead a blind man?
Right.
And so, if you're not following like the greatest example of how to be a good father and a loving husband to your wife, to show your kids how to do it, if you're not following him, you can't really raise up a man. If you want to be a leader, you have to follow a leader to
right.
be a leader. And so, if you want to really raise up men, you have to follow a man, you know, to raise up men. That's how I see it. The Bible says, Proverbs 22 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Also, with just being an example of like Christ to your sons, or just Christ to, you know, just men in general, you have to have some discipline in your life. And I feel like not everybody has that type of discipline in their lives. Like now and today, just today's generation, you just see, you know, young men kind of all over the place. They don't really have goals and motives, and they're not really getting their lives together because they have nobody, no good role models to follow. And so I feel like if you instill some discipline in their lives at a young age, I feel like that kind of can help them, you know, walk in a straight path.
When they get older?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it says train up a child. So that means that there has to be some structure. There has to be examples that mm-hmm. is already set forth in order to help them be the man that they're called to be. So we're talking about training up a child in ways that they should go. So how has fatherhood been for you?
Fatherhood has been fun, ultimately. Definitely challenging.
How has it been challenging?
Because you don't get to sleep anymore like you used to. You can't sleep in, man.
It's something about once you become a parent, like mm-hmm. you sleep almost with one eye open, right?
Yeah, pretty much. My left eye can't. My left eye doesn't close anymore. I don't blink with my left eye.
Not so much because your kids are mischievous or anything, but it's just like you have this thing where you're always like thinking about your children, even when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I know I find myself always just like thinking about my kids because I'm like, you know, they mean the world to me. So they're constantly on my mind when I'm at work, when I'm running errands. I'm like, oh, my son would love this or something like that. So, yeah. So besides that.
Well, before I give another answer, why don't you tell us something?
Something about parenting?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think my experience with parenting has been, I mean, it's had its ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with parenting with my first son, Jay, when I was a single mom, is a lot different than having you around with my baby now, Zion. There's a lot of differences, as in there were times when I had my first son, and there was times when I was tired. I remember being extremely tired, or there was times when I didn't have money to buy certain things, and you know, Jeremiah was mainly dependent on me.
Right.
So my experience has its ups and downs, only because I got to experience what it was like to be a single mom and raise a child on your own versus now having a child and you have a partner who's there with you.
Okay.
The two different things that I can definitely say is just being tired and just being able to give your child up, you know, to give him to your significant other and be like, hey, I'm tired. I need to rest a little bit. I never got to experience that my first time around.
Yeah.
I didn't get to experience like making a decision together in regards to my child. It was always me and what I wanted to do with him and how I wanted to dress my first son.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would say it. But it's better. I now understand why people say, oh, I can have 5 kids, because they enjoyed their pregnancy, they enjoyed being a parent.
Right.
But when you've been in a situation where I was before, where I had a hard time with my pregnancy, and then also just, you know, preparing my mind to be a single parent, it's hard. You have to be strong 24/7. Even when you don't want to, you have to be strong. You have to work hard. It's like there's no break. It almost feels like it.
The child is just on you.
Yeah, because the child is just on you and you alone. That's the difference. So I understand when people say, I could have 10 kids.
Yeah.
Before, I never understood that.
Uh-huh.
But this time around, my experience was so much better. So I can see why people can that's a lot of diapers to change. But it's not that bad when you have somebody with you.
True.
If you have to change 10 diapers by yourself, then you might rethink that.
10 diapers. Oh, yeah. Something else I like about it. Right now, the baby Zion is starting to talk.
Yeah.
Somewhat. I mean, you know, he's still mumbling words. But the first word I believe that he said is Jay.
Is Jay, which is an older brother.
What's funny is that he only knows that name because we're always saying Jay.
Yeah.
Because Jay's always here and he's always there. And whenever you see him doing something he shouldn't be, you're like, Jay. And so Zion is just like, Jay.
Yeah.
It's cute.
The other night, Zion woke up in the middle of the night and he's crying out, Jay.
Yeah.
So that's the only word that he knows right now is Jay. Because Jay is just into everything. So he always hears his name. What values do you think it's important to make sure that it's instilled in your children as they grow up?
There's a lot of values I would like for them to be instilled in them.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Yeah. Do you get that? Okay. Two things come to mind, though. One is integrity. I would love for them to have integrity, to understand what that means to be like upright, you know, not try to do things in a sneaky way. And when I say that, I mean like as far as like when you get old enough to go into the world, like, you know, start working at jobs and stuff like that. Don't try to see how you can steal time. Steal money, like you know, whatever time you get to work. I'm just giving you an example.
Right.
I want you to be upright and, you know, do what you're supposed to do when you go to, when you're out there in the real world.
Right.
And because Jesus is watching at the end of the day, and you're accountable. Yes,
right.
And you also want to represent Christ in the best way possible. And
mm-hmm.
somebody, again, for an example, somebody that steals time, that's not something that Christ would do. The Bible says that the devil came to steal.
Right.
He comes to steal, to kill. It's not Jesus. And he comes to steal, kill, destroy. You know, you get that? So, like, integrity. I just want you to be upright. I want you to do things the right way, the honest way.
Mm.
Seek the high road,
right.
Not the low road. Not trying to, yeah, you get that. And then the next thing is, like, you know, ownership.
Mm.
Take responsibility of, you know, whatever actions you've, yeah. If you, whether good or bad, don't just take responsibility for the good things that you've accomplished in life. If you've made mistakes in your life, take ownership of it and recognize, you know, you made a mistake, whatever the consequences is, you deal with it, and you go from there. But don't, yeah. Examples like how Adam and Eve, after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God came in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? And what did he do? He was hiding. He was hiding instead of showing his face. And then on top of that, he blamed it on Eve and said, oh, it was the woman. Oh, he actually blamed it on God because he said, it was the woman you gave me.
Right.
Instead of taking ownership and saying, I know you told me I was supposed to do this.
Right.
I didn't. You know, so I'll like, those are just two things that come to mind. Integrity, being upright, and just, you know, seeking the high road, and then ownership, if you know, whether it be good or bad,
right.
You take responsibility for your actions.
Right.
Those are two values. And then the best way to for them to have it instilled in them is to see it in me.
Right.
And so I have to always challenge myself to, you know, be what's the word? Integrity?
Yeah, a man of integrity.
Yeah, yeah, be a man of integrity and to, you know, take ownership of my responsibilities.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kennedy, for being on the show with us today.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good time?
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, did you have to drive miles away?
Nope.
To come to this to come participate in this podcast?
I did not. It's right in the comforts of my own home.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Now, you've heard from Kennedy. Kennedy, again, is the guy who supports me. He's the one that actually encouraged me to step out here in faith and just give my story out, because I believe in sharing my story, I can help another young girl, another young woman out there who maybe have gone through the same exact issues, stuff that I've gone through. And again, my desire is to inspire, my desire is to uplift and empower, and the best way that I can do that is to offer myself to you guys, offer my story, offer my journey. I'm not afraid to share my weaknesses, I'm not afraid to share my strengths, and if there's any part of this that I pray that God will use to touch one of you guys out there listening, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, and victory is in Jesus. The only way that I can stand here in victory is in Jesus. The only way that I can stand here with my fiance, husband to be, is through Jesus. And know that all of us have fallen short of God's glory.
Right.
But God is faithful. God is just. God can still reach his hand. No matter what pit you are in, he can still drag you out. And I am a living witness of that. He has dragged me out of several pits, actually, that I dug for myself. Pick you out.
Instead of drag
me out. Oh, yeah. It sounds a little more gentle when he picks you out, right? Yeah. So he's picked me out of several pits that I personally have dug myself in. And the good thing with God is he doesn't look at you and say, I told you. No, he's a very loving God. So love the God that I love. I challenge you guys to get to know him, read the word, stay in prayer, and stay encouraged, uplifted, and empowered. Once again, we're giving out the free Bible, so if you did not get a chance to send over your information so we can send you out a spanking new Bible with a message from NMA Empowering God's Beloveds that's going to uplift, empower you guys and encourage you guys. So go ahead and do that. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for the reviews. Thank you for everybody who listens, and I thank God for everybody. So until next time, we love you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the NMA Podcast. Visit us online today for more podcast information, social media, directories, and more valuable resources at laviniajohnson.com.